Mike.
Yes.
I feel like, I mean, this is weird because we haven't talked in a very long time. It's been at least 3 weeks since the podcast was posted, and like plus that time since we recorded. So, hey.
Hey, and not to mention the one I did without you.
Yeah, well, that's I wish I could say that I regret not being there, but.
It's a bad season. Oh, anyway.
But you know, just off the top, I know that you know, you've gone through some hard stuff recently.
Yeah.
And suffered a loss of a very dear friend who's been with you for a very long time. So, how are you doing with the Right Stuff buyout by Crunchyroll?
I've been looking at Book Outlet and just buying random light novel volumes for a lot cheaper. And just being like, I'll fill these in as I find them, I guess, because I don't want to shop from Right Stuff.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
Scott.
Mike. That was my bit. That was the bit.
Oh.
I know. That's why I went into it. I was like, fuck it.
Oh, boy.
And good old Sean Kleckner has not tweeted since July 2nd.
He's too busy counting his money.
Fucking sellout. Look.
He deserves it. And he doesn't deserve to sell out, but he does deserve
if
a big pile of money.
If this was Crunchyroll 2 years ago, I probably wouldn't worry. But this is Crunchyroll, owned by Sony, that also bought Funimation. And so now Sony not just has the Funimation and Crunchyroll catalogs, they just bought the biggest facilitator of logistics and shipping for the competitors, like Discotech and Sentai Filmworks. So there's some problems there.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can say that maybe they're trying to completely corner that market.
Yes, because we need a company that censors fucking everything to corner the market.
I was gonna say they immediately removed all of their naughty stuff, and then they're moving it to a separate site or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did or not, but
it is moving to something. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, and who knows if that's actually gonna like be a money making thing, or if they're just like doing that to fulfill the existing orders. It's it's definitely a sad day. For anime fandom that Right Stuff is going away, because they've been for 30 years, right? And being the retailer. And
what did you say?
They've been around for like 30 years, more than that.
More than that. The Right Stuff started in the 80s, so it's more than 30. I've been ordering from them since the early to mid 90s, back when you used to have to either mail in an order or call it in.
Holy shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they've been the place for a very long time.
Yeah, because the only other place, there was another site for a long time. I think Anime Nation was what it was called.
Yes, I remember
was
that.
Was the other one that was the big anime seller.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, so when I started buying DVDs, I ordered from a place called Robert's Anime Corners, which had both the cheapest prices and the jankiest website.
A lot of them did in the past. Right Stuff website was not always good. Neither was Anime Nation's.
GeoCities, good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really going to be interesting. The one thing I heard that people are still like putting like pieces together, because of course nobody really anticipated this coming. But apparently, you know, like Right Stuff always has these blockbuster sales, but. There was like a real effort by Sentai to liquidate a lot of old stuff.
I bought a order of stuff from them, and I normally don't buy anime, but the prices were so cheap that I was like, yes, please.
Yeah. So does that mean that does Sentai know something that we don't, or was there just an effort to get rid of some?
I mean, they
stuff
do
make room for Funimation.
To be
stuff?
Fair. They do a lot of sales anyway,
mm-hmm.
and they're usually pretty good. But I got the, I don't know how, is it pronounced Rinne? The Rumiko Takahashi series that had a few seasons?
I think that sounds
I picked up all those sets because I'm a Rumiko Takahashi nerd. Whether it's good or not, I'll check it out. Because I even gave Inuyasha a chance back in the day. It wasn't my thing. And then I picked up a couple other things like that Takanomi I talked about, the drinking anime. Hidamari Sketch had an OVA I didn't know, so I think I bought a few things, because then you go to the con and all that shit is like $30 to $40. And I'm like, what? You can literally buy it cheaper on your website.
I'm literally on Right Stuff right now, and they have...
They still have good sales right now. I don't know how long it's going to be.
Dirty pair Kickstarter t-shirt large for $120. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's, you only were able to get that on the Kickstarter. It's technically a collector's item now.
Cute, I like it. But I'm not paying $120 for it. Yeah. I don't know, I might. I'm thinking about it.
I didn't know they still had the Kickstarters going.
Shannon, you think about that. We'll get back to a lot of... Well, I guess, I don't know, is there any other anime news? I know there's one more piece of anime news that we want to talk about. The other weird thing, just to complete the circle on Funimation Crunchyroll, is, you know, they're very heavily advertising the new Dragon Ball Super movie, and it is incredibly weird to see the Crunchyroll logo on that film instead of the Funimation logo. So it's really clear what Sony believes the premier brand was there, and they're probably not wrong in 2022.
Look, I'm going to say, and I know it wasn't a good thing to really be excited about, when Funimation and Crunchyroll were being brought together, I was kind of okay with it, because I was because Funimation's site was fucking terrible. So now I'm like, damn, I wish I hadn't celebrated that, but at the same time, we no longer have to use Funimation sites still.
Well, I mean, whenever I bought stuff, it was very rare. I don't like to buy a lot of anime merch. If I buy manga, it's always digital, right? But I would always go to the Crunchyroll store, so now I guess it doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't have any more room on my shelf anyway for any more figures.
I mean, technically the right stuff is the Crunchyroll store. So
how much are they charging for this Dirty Pair shirt?
Like $120.
What the fuck?
I mean,
I wonder if that's like the level you had to back at to get it from the Kickstarter.
No, it's kind of
no
hot.
Just the t-shirt, because the actual I'm looking,
I don't know.
Well, Mike, we played Sincerity Chicken, and you bowled me over. I'm going to let you be sincere now for a little bit.
Okay. So it's been a rough couple of weeks. First found out a couple Saturdays ago that a friend of ours that I've been drinking with since around 2018, I believe it was, at the breweries. Somebody I became good friends with at the breweries. And we would drink pre-pandemic, like twice a week, one Wednesday at one brewery because it was bring your own mug night, and then Thursday at another brewery because they had their variants on. And my friend was only 34 and unfortunately was found at his apartment, passed away after we knew he had some issues, but nobody realized it was going to be that bad, of course. So this past Monday, nobody could make the family memorials because it was a little further away and I was working a different shift. So we held a memorial at the one brewery this past Monday, and I would say 30 to 40 people showed up for him, including people from his work, and his brother and sister-in-law were able to make it. I gave the toast and within three words, broke. Like, I was like, I thought I'd make it at least a little further in than that. But I was thankfully saved by one of the ladies that is a bartender and has worked at both of the breweries we used to drink at, and she stepped in and saved me. But it was a really good memorial and see everybody that loved him so much. And then unfortunately the day after that I had to put down Tucker, my 17-year-old dog I've had since March of 2016. He had just kind of stopped eating, and I definitely made the right call of the date to do it, because the day of, he stopped drinking too. So, got all my time in. It was a very tough Tuesday. I want to thank Scott and Shannon for sending me flowers. That meant a lot. But I'm kind of calmer than I expected, and I think it's because he's out of his pain and suffering that he had a lot of at the end, due to his lack of appetite. Even in the past, like, 8 months, he had lost a lot of weight. But he is, as somebody who is dated but still been mostly single. He has been like the one constant in my life for 16 and a half years. So it's different already. I know my younger dog, Maddie, is fucking tired of me. Because I spent over a day cuddling up and hugging her to the point where she was like literally moving away from me. But I'm okay now. Like I said, still emotional moments, still things that pop up, but had a good support group with family and friends. So, but he lived a really good life and made friends with a lot of people. Shannon lived with me for a time, so she remembers him.
Oh yeah, him and Lucy.
Yep. Yeah, your old cat. She was a sweetheart as well, and they loved each other.
Yeah,
it was funny from
sleep on the couch.
I know, from the get-go, it's like, are they going to be okay together? And all of a sudden, like, they're laying next to each other. We're like, okay, they're fine.
It was sweet.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, Tucker was a good boy. He was a very sweet dog.
Was never mean to anybody.
No, never. I don't think I ever really heard him, like, angry bark or, like, growl. Unless it was, like, a deer coming up to the back door.
Yeah. But he was friends with dogs, cats, people. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky because Maddie's the same way. So, I don't think I'll get another dog.
Yeah.
In terms of two at the same time. I think I'd get a cat, though. And
yeah.
We'll see next year.
Maintenance is easier, I will say.
Well, it's more because, I'll be honest, towards the end now with Tucker being at 17, Maddie's still only 9. It was an 8-year difference, and walking them in the past year or two has been a lot harder because Tucker wasn't moving as fast, and Maddie's like full sprint.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have a cat in here where I only have to worry about walking one of the animals.
Well, join the feline club. Scott and I are way ahead of you.
Yeah, I'll probably look into it next year after the winter.
We'll have a podcast vote on what the name should be.
We'll do something really stupid and weeby. Yeah. Like Mina or something. No, I'm just kidding.
I, for one, look forward to our G-Nature Cat Guy future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my dad had two cats when I was born. One of them I don't remember as much because it passed away before we moved to another house when I was 5. But the other one lived a little longer, and I remember that one more. I like cats. I have no problem with it. We have neighborhood cats that get along with my dogs, and I see them all the time. Oh, speaking of that, Shannon, because you know Copper, I shouldn't say past tense yet, but I saw him today, and his head looks super thin.
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah, he's got thyroid issues. He's had them for about 2 years, but you can start seeing. I was like, I saw him this morning, and I was like, oh, my poor buddy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hate that animals get older faster than we do.
Yeah.
But no more sad subjects. No more sad subjects. All right, we gotta get off these sad subjects.
I got more to talk about, but I'll wait until you guys go. Well, I think we should get into a very happy subject. Exactly. I added this to the outline for Scott because he needs
to
talk about this.
Your PlayStation 5. Let's talk about it.
No.
Wrong, Scott.
Nope. We need to go to wonderful, like, wondrous news after
happy
being
news, Scott.
A little somber.
I'm engaged. Hey.
Yay!
I'm engaging in the patriarchy.
Yes. Stop with your bits. They're terrible.
Down with the patriarchy.
Well, I, for one, am very happy for
you.
No,
we were.
Same.
It was a very, very lovely, very lovely moment. We were on vacation. She kept finding the goddamn
She
lead,
was...
But...
Britt was definitely on cloud 9 the entire Otakon weekend.
Yes, she was.
It was the first time I met her, too. So I had never met her before Otakon.
You didn't meet her when she came down...
I don't
think
so.
To DC once before?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to put those timelines together, but I guess, like, when we were in Baltimore, she was in Texas.
No, Shannon, you were there. No, Shannon, you were there.
It's not ringing a bell for me.
It was, like, the first year of DC, I think, she came down.
I don't know if Shannon...
Because she stayed in the hotel room. You don't remember? She was using up all the towels in the bathroom. Oh, it was Baltimore?
Shannon was in Texas.
I was going to say, yeah, that wasn't...
I think, wasn't it the... I don't know. I think the year I came by myself is when Shannon was there, back from Texas, wasn't it? Right?
Okay, maybe that's what it was.
Right, yes.
I just remember Brittany using all the towels, and everybody was like, how the fuck are we out of towels again?
Well, she did a lot better this go-round. There were towels left.
That's true. I also brought our own towels after I told her about your request for her not to use all the towels. Brought two of her own.
Well, Mike didn't even stay with us, so it doesn't even matter.
No, that's right.
I wasn't the one complaining as much. It was the people who woke up later than
Well, maybe you ain't gotta wake up earlier.
I always wake up first because I just wake up. I'm used to it.
Gotta get his beauty rest.
Oh, so while we already obviously have the hotel room booked, Will is looking into a hotel room for him and his girlfriend, Jane.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they want to come down. I already told him. I was like, we're packed. it's like, we got four people. I was like, good luck, though. I wish you had told me you wanted to go a while ago. I told you to look at the hotel rooms before they sold out. They went quick. Those double bedrooms, 5 minutes. Not even 5 minutes.
Fast. Otakon announced it, and then all of a sudden, it was just like, bam, they were gone.
At least you're on top of that shit, Mike.
Speaking of being at least one of us is.
And I can go. I can spend the weekend next year.
Speaking of being on top of shit, Shannon, you're making some progress on that webcomic. Rising up those charts, being on top of the world. That's what I hear.
Yeah, something like that.
She did hit another milestone, though.
So I hit 5,000 subscribers on Webtoon, which is great. So I think total now I'm at almost 12,000. I'm close. Yep. But right now, between August and September, sometime in September, I don't know yet, but I'm going to be on a little break. Sometimes creators just need to take a step back, reevaluate, take a breather, enjoy life, enjoy the outdoors, fly to Germany.
I was going
to
say enjoy another country.
Go hang out in the Bavarian Alps. Gonna have my Sound of Music moment. That's what I'm gonna be doing. So yes, my webcomics are currently on break. It's not that I'm not even, okay, so that's kind of it's not even really a break, right? I'm still working on them, but I don't have the pressure coming down on me to post or to update.
Yeah.
And I also have some things that I'm gonna fill the time with, like special collaborations that I'm doing with other webcomic artist. I'll be posting those up whenever those get put together. But yeah, I'm just kind of on a little break, going to Germany in a couple weeks, in like a week and a half, actually. And I bought a new car.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I got a new car. I traded in the old 2015 Miata, and I got me a very, very gently used 2021 Miata.
Like congrats.
2,300 miles on it. Yeah.
What's going to be the Itasha thing?
You know, I've been thinking about it. So my license plate has something to do with Hisoka from Hunter Hunter. And I've got a little Hisoka kind of like plush hanging from my rearview mirror. Yeah. And I don't know, like part of me kind of wants to keep the theme going because the car is red. And I don't know. I kind of want to keep the Hisoka theme going. About it. I'm really, really thinking about it. I wouldn't even know where to go to get that done, though. Like a good quality wrap on my car. I have no clue where I would even start. I guess I should have probably asked those people at Otakon.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not that hard to get.
Oh, probably not. Probably not. But yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. Like, you know, Scott, I don't know if you and Brittany saw them, but there were a bunch of vehicles with the anime wrappings in the dealer's room.
Oh no, we definitely saw them.
And I was inspired. So maybe that can be me next year. Maybe.
I think it would be awesome. In fact, we also saw them while we were loading up from our stuff at the hotel. We saw them drive away, come up from underground.
Oh, nice.
And drive away. Yeah.
There was a really cool Sailor Moon SUV, like the wrappings on it, and just it was done. Like usually when you think about like anime characters on a car, I don't know about you, but I think just like, you know, the big boobied half naked chicks like posing on the side of a car. But the Sailor Moon was actually really well.
That was really nice.
It was really, really, really cool. So I definitely would want to get something tasteful. I don't think I would put like the actual Hisoka's actual like face on it. I'd probably do something with like his hands and like the cards that he has.
Oh, well, you could do like that. Sailor Moon was like a silhouette, not like
it was straight out. Yeah, right. It was a silhouette. I don't know. This is something that I think I might need to talk to my husband about. I don't know what the rules are in our HOA when it comes to that kind of stuff.
The HOA, I don't think, can say anything about your car being wrapped.
Yeah. I just wouldn't want it to be like, I mean, well, no matter.
Fuck the HOAs anyway.
Well, yeah, well, no matter whichever way you look at it, it's corny as fuck, right? But that's okay. Maybe not
you're,
corny, but
you're
it's
living the best
cringe.
Life, so.
I am. It's definitely cringe. But that's okay. Because I'm almost 40 years old. I don't care anymore.
Whew. I'm looking at some of these costs. God damn.
Yeah, pretty expensive.
If you did, like, the ultimate... Well, this one thing. This is a different wrap, though. I'm just looking to see. And some of these things that are just wrapping other things are like, oh, $7,500.
Woo! Damn.
I know this place in... I think these are the people that were there, Rocket Wraps, but... they're out of Texas, and the starting price is $150 for the design. Then just a hood wrap alone is $450.
$450?
For just the hood wrap, yeah.
It's not too bad, actually, in my opinion. Obviously, I'm not going all the way to Texas to get some anime
characters.
Hey,
sometimes you gotta make sacrifices.
You want to bet? That's more reason to do it, because then everybody's got to see it when you drive back with that shit.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's got to exist somewhere here in Northern Virginia, considering.
Yeah.
I have no doubt.
100%. I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah.
I'll find out. I'll figure it out if I even want to do it. I don't know. Like I said, I've been thinking about it.
All right, Mike, what is StoryGraph? You got it listed here.
So I know I've talked before. I use Goodreads a lot while I'm reading to keep track of things. So StoryGraph is a new startup site that is basically pushing itself for the same thing, to keep track of your reads. It's still fairly early on, but they're basically like, hey, we're trying to get better. I really like the site because I can make changes if things are needed without waiting for, like, Goodreads has a librarian staff and they don't answer half the fucking time when you put in a ticket to fix something. So here, I can make those changes if they're missing, or I can put in a ticket if it already has something. But I like their slogan, especially like, hey, we're not owned by Amazon. We're independent. And that's been one of the things a friend of mine's wife put me onto it, and I've really been enjoying it more than Goodreads. It has less people right now, but I'm kind of willing to have just less people to keep track of my books on something that's not Amazon owned, especially since they've been doing some updates to their interface on there that look fucking terrible.
What?
I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you talking to us or
somebody
else?
Import your data from Goodreads.
Yeah, I did that. It didn't capture everything, but a lot of my stuff are manga and light novels, so it's not as mainstream. But I've added a lot of stuff and made a lot of necessary changes to stuff that was already there. So overall, like I said, I'm enjoying it. I'll probably put in to be a librarian with how many changes I'm already making. I'm like, hey, I've done a lot of work so far in the week I've been using you. And I'll probably stick with this and move away from Goodreads. As much as I'll miss the community of what other people are reading there, I prefer this. I just kind of want to give that site a shout out for the people who like to read. It's a great alternative. And then I got a PS5 finally.
Nice.
I wasn't planning on buying one, but Best Buy had one that was available for purchase for in-store pickup, and I was just like, I don't know when I'll see one of these again.
I was going to say, are they still pretty hard to
getting
find?
Getting better, but still
yes.
Not great.
Yeah. I've noticed they don't sell out as fast, but I still wasn't going to take the chance, and I just grabbed it. Started playing stuff, but with the way Tucker was declining, I really didn't have a chance, and now I'll have the time to sit down and play that after Saints Row comes out for my Xbox. But Saints Row comes first. But yeah, so I got one of those. I checked out Stray. Shannon, you should check out that game.
I've seen it.
We just play as a cat.
When the hell am I gonna have time? I barely have time for this podcast. I haven't watched a single anime in weeks.
Indication of podcast future.
She's gonna watch something for the next.
Speaking of anime,
I am.
It's only a movie.
Podcast is about. We did. Let's talk about some anime.
We started off with it.
I think the Otakon was great. A+. The line, because they were checking vaccinations got a little bit backed up on Saturday. Maybe they were a little underprepared for how much work checking the vaccination stuff would be, or they were a little overwhelmed with how many people showed up. But apart from those logistics, everything was
definitely
great.
The rumor was it was because the staff had fucking metal detectors, and only one of them at an entrance. And people were like, you can't have just one with this crowd.
Actually, it's true. There was only one metal detector going into the, from the hotel.
First off, what do we have fucking metal detectors for?
Like, I rang the metal detector every time I went through, and they saw how I was carrying a giant camera and was like, oh, you're good. So.
But I'm saying 20-some years, and we're not trusting the people of fucking Otakon, the weebs? I was more worried about the people who were trying to get in with being unvaccinated or not wearing masks and stuff, which they were really good about, to be fair. I thought they did a good job. I saw people complaining that people weren't wearing masks, and I was like, that's less than 1%
masks.
Of the people I
saw. I've heard stories of people being refused entry because they didn't have their paperwork. Mike saw someone who was refused entry because they didn't have their paperwork in line.
The people in front of me, when I got in registration, there were three people in front of me. And as they were walking in the door, the guy was like, you need to put on your masks. And they were like, what? So he pulled them out of line, told them,
brutal.
Go get some
masks
and get back in line.
Even if they had masks, I bet you they ran out. they couldn't provide masks to everybody in that crowd. Yeah,
They couldn't afford that shit.
I saw somebody try to pass off a home test as him not having COVID. And they were like, what's this? Literally, they knew what it was. And they go, what is this? This is my negative test, and they were like, they said, you need to go find a clinic in the city and go get an actual
really,
PCR
really
test.
Really proud of them. Because I heard that 2021, they were a little more relaxed than people would have liked. Like, I think, masks were suggested, and I don't think they were doing the wristbands for stuff.
But the amount of people I saw walking around trying to sneak past the mask thing, like pulling them down a little, was not that many.
Yeah, I
was paying attention. I would say less than 1%. And if you tell me less than 1% of, and here's the big number, 40,000 people attending the con, I'd say they did a good job.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Anime Expo where people legit were like not wearing masks and not even like wearing them around their like chin. They just didn't have them on.
Oh, right. But I do want to give a shout out to Scott. He, as always,
don't feed his ego.
Delivered an amazing performance.
Feed it.
Delivered an amazing performance with his When Hentai Goes Bad or Wrong or whatever it is.
Did he breathe into the mic?
Not. He...
What?
He had... I couldn't tell you. That room was packed, Mike. That room was absolutely packed.
I'm sad I missed it.
People were hooting. People were hollering. They were having a good time. I mean, It was a great, great panel, Scott. Lots and lots
Thank
of
you.
Energy, lots and lots of lewdness, and very extremely inappropriate content, which is great. It's the way that I want it. And I can't wait to see next year's, if you do it again.
I'm sure the hentai panels are easier to get approved.
Well, it depends. I mean, like,
because they want that 18 plus content for that age range, so I'm sure they don't get as many panel submissions for the 18 plus as they do.
Yeah, and late night content is tough to do, and it's especially doing it well. It's the only panel that got accepted this year. I don't know how their vetting process works, but I bet you they have a list of previous panelists and panels that did well and those that didn't. So
oh, yeah,
I bet you that
no
helps.
Doubt.
I always say it's gonna be the last time I do it because some of the content in there has been updated in a very long time. But
yeah.
People continue to enjoy it. The one thing I was actually pretty shocked of because I did a quick survey before, like how many people is this your first Otakon? And there was a healthy maybe 25 to 30% of the people in that room. This was their first Otakon, which might account for the sudden rapid rise in attendance. That's really cool.
Well, I know next year I'm myself and another webcomic friend are going to try to throw our hats into the ring and be part of the Artist Aller. Oh my God. Artist
Aller?
Alley. Artist Lottery. Artist Alley Lottery. And see if we can get a table and have like a little dual webcomic booth. She's a hell of a lot popular, more popular than I am, considerably. But I think it would be fun, and I think it could be really interesting and, you know, sell some artwork, maybe make some money. I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah. I mean, having 40,000 people walk by your booth, probably 80% of the attendees go to Artist Alley at least once, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's got to be just a positive impact, right?
Yeah.
So the con, I mean, con was great. It's still the best con. I'm going to definitely go back. I think because of COVID, I mean, I've gained a bunch of weight because of COVID. And I haven't been moving as much. I was actually looking at my, activity stats. Like, it was like my average day before COVID was like, just from like, just going to work and like existing in the world was like 7,500 steps. And my average to like these days is like 2,300. So just like, I'm not used to moving around in the world because of that. So it was a little more taxing on me than I would have liked to admit, but hopefully I can get back in shape and do it correctly next year.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough this year.
Yeah.
And I realized so Mike, without you being there the entire time, I realized that my eating habits like tanked. Usually when you and I are together at Otakon, you are the reason why I tend to eat well. With you gone,
because I'm fat and I need my meals.
I was back to, Doritos and Diet Pepsi for dinner. I probably should not do that.
Yeah.
But you were the reason why I had my vending machine dinners.
Yeah, getting a sit down meal is also not always my priority if I'm up to my own devices. Because Brittany and I had lunch. And then we just kind of went for...
Yeah. I'm like, no, I want to go eat. No, I want to go eat. Let's go eat. I don't skip meals. So I'll keep everybody up to a schedule of eating if you let me. Because that's part of my trip. I like going out to the places in D.C.
You're right. It is part of the trip. But I think with how long it took to get back in the convention center and how tired I was, it was just easier not to. But yeah, so it was like after my 11 p.m. panel, we had a nice nice hotel room pizza delivered at like 1 o'clock in the morning. It felt like being like in the early 20 cons again. It was like, I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, I missed not being there with y'all through most of the weekend, since I only had about 5-6 hours each day. And Saturday, my calf gave out, which... I'm hoping that won't be a problem next year, because now one of the biggest things I'm doing now that Tucker has passed is making sure, because that one of the biggest things that happened because of his lack of movement, I didn't take Maddie on the longer walks like I should, knowing that she needed the walks even though he couldn't do it. But now already I've been every day, and when I move to the different shift work, I'll have it every morning. So...
for me to just get out there and make up for those steps I'm not taking now that I'm working from home. And I once a week I'll do like 2 miles, but it's just not enough.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Maddie's gained some weight over the past year because of the lack of walk. You can't see her waist as well. And I was like, yep, it's time to go. So not just that, I'm also not forcing her, cause she enjoys it, but I'm making sure, because of the new shift work and I'm not going to be here in the evenings anymore to take her places, I'm taking her one day a weekend with me somewhere. Whether it's to see family or to a brewery, she's going somewhere to socialize, and I'm going to keep her out, keep her active. So
I think that's a great idea.
That's awesome.
I'm doing that this weekend. Jack and I are going to hang out at the brewery because he just hit me up. So
the one bit of news, I think it was the biggest piece of news from Otakon, especially for you, Mike, and I never thought I'd see the day, but all of Yuetsu Yatsura is coming to Blu-ray from Discotheque.
That's awesome.
How excited are you?
I'm excited. So I watched Yuetsu Yatsura, and I think I marked it on Anime Planet. I've seen the whole thing. I've seen a lot of it, but I know I probably haven't seen it all in order. So... I look forward to that. And if you want to use that as the segue into what I'm doing right now.
Go for it.
Which is, not just am I ready to rewatch or watch your Say It, Sir all the way through. I have started watching Rama 1/2 from the beginning in Japanese for the first time. I've seen some clips and some episodes, but I've always watched it dubbed because Viz did a great job with the dub back in the day. But I've been watching Rama in Japanese with subtitles, and I've already gotten through 16 episodes, and I only have 148 more to go. Yeah, 148 more to go. But I'm glad to be jumping back in. It reminds me that Shampoo was the Moe character before Moe existed. There's a reason why she's always been number one. And it's a fun time. I love Rama. It's funny because the first 18 episodes actually resulted in cancellation in Japan. And then the studio regrouped and redid it, and then were successful for 143 episodes after that. But it's really a good time. Everybody should check that out. Rama's worth the watch. And honestly, I watched Ranma's first two or three seasons so much from my youth to now that reading the subtitles of these beginning episodes, the lines are very similar or the exact same. That's how well Viz did the dub of making sure that it translated like it does in the sub. So I'm enjoying it. Good times. It's one of the many things I was watching recently.
Let's get into what we're watching. Shen, you've already declared that you hate anime and hate us for watching it, so let's gonna skip you.
Totally.
Mike, I do want to hear about The Devil Is a Part-Timer Season 2, because I haven't started it yet, and I know
okay, you probably will, so because I never, so I never watched the first season, so I finally did that first to lead up to it, because I've read all through the light novel at this point. I finished it. So the first season was fun. It's not a great anime, but it was fun. The first episode of Season 2 hit, and I was out. I fucking dropped it. They have a new studio, new looks. They over-exaggerate, like, full-on cartoonish over-exaggeration of the faces sometimes. You can tell where they're cutting corners on animation with the way things are moving and the way the camera pans instead of, like, them moving. This is something I wanted to talk about because I have this in another show I'm going to talk about here. But going back to Ranma and seeing all this shit they fucking used to animate back then, even the smallest things. I'm like, these animators are cutting corners, animation studios are cutting corners to pay these people as little as fucking possible. That it shows in the quality from back then to now. Things may look cleaner and crisper, but damn, do they don't look as smooth and fluid. And I heard, and the reason why I ended up dropping it, because I was looking at some discussion on Season 2 of Devil's a Part-Timer, Episode 4 hit, and people were like, what the fuck happened to the quality? And I was like, wait, you're complaining about the quality now? I'm complaining about the quality in Episode 1. I was like, I'm out. I'm done. I've read the story. I don't have to watch this, so I decided not to continue.
That's definitely not too good. Bad. I don't know what is it, because, I mean, I think that initially, like, I was excited with the studios taking a break before working on like the second core so they can regroup, but
not 10 years though. Yeah, because it's a whole new studio.
It's like this was a fail. The One Punch Man Season 2 was a fail. The what was that shonen show, with the kids and the, you know what I'm talking about?
No. I don't know what you're talking about at all.
The kids? Promise
Neverland.
Oh, the pro. Oh, yeah,
season
yeah,
two
yeah.
of that was, well, got panned real hard.
Well, it's starting to sound a lot like Fairy Tale. I don't know if any of you ever watched that, but apparently, like, the animation got so bad.
you mean?
Just like absolutely.
You mean One
is
Piece?
Wow, Scott, you're gonna get us canceled.
Well, so actually, I'm just gonna. I'm gonna get this out there because it was 12 years ago that they told me not to say this, so I'm just gonna say it. When I went to interview I was doing interviews at New York Comic-Con or any Academy Fest or the one they were both combined. The One P, the fairy tale author was there, so I was going to go in to do the roundtable interview, and like we got the crib sheet of what not to ask, and on it was like, do not ask about One Piece, do not compare fairy tale to One Piece. It's like
I remember that.
It was really funny.
Oh wow, that's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, because he was the assistant for the One Piece creator, so that people constantly compared the two.
Okay, well, I understand that then, for sure.
But yeah, you know, I mean, that's with any long-running show, like, animation goes down, which is why, again, like, if you have time to regroup and do new key art and prepare, your animation quality shouldn't dip that quickly. So I don't know what's... Well, the only explanation is that there's so much anime being made now that, like, you know, I mean, the industry has a resource problem, clearly, you know, and it's getting worse.
Right, well... One of my favorites, Golden Kamuy, the new season, is a completely different studio. So I'm a little nervous because I know that's always kind of like a weird thing when, you know, they did the first three seasons and then all of a sudden, you know, switching studios, it could be a little jarring. But I guess we'll see.
So leading into How Not to Summon a Demon Lord season two. I really enjoyed the first season. It really captured the light novel. It's a very etchy harem isekai.
These are all dirty words, by the way.
The second season is shit animation quality, worse than Devil is a Part-Timer season two. And to make up for the shit animation, it just felt like they were like, here's some boobs in your face, here's some ass in your face. And I was like, this isn't helping, guys. It still looks like shit. It's just the part where you can see where characters are kind of standing there and not moving like they would naturally. Or they would, like, zoom in and you'd see, like, they'd be, like, zooming in with the characters and I'd be like, but... You're just zooming in on the cells. Like, this is fucking dumb. I was like, so I will not continue that if they come out with a season three. I wish I had dropped it instead of hoping it got better. It did not. That's another one where I'm like, I'll just stick to the fucking light novels.
I wonder if there's probably some math that they do. Like, okay, the first season was this successful, so we're going to give you 80% of that budget because that's what we can afford to do or something. Like, it was successful enough to get a season two, but not successful enough to spend as much money as on season one. Oh, it's so disappointing. The good news is, I'm only, like, three episodes in, but I have started Bookworm season three, and that still looks great. So,
I heard it's the worst of the seasons. That's not a bad thing. They just say it's not.
It certainly feels like a transitional phase because, from what I understand, you know, like... And, you know, we've reviewed Bookworm, but the character Mine is going through these different phases where she's, like, inventor, priestess, and then she's going to be a nobleman's daughter is, like, the next major arc. And so far, they're building up to her transitioning to being a nobleman's daughter. So it definitely feels like a lot of build-up, and it's probably not going to have the time to pay off. But, you know, if they're committed to doing a whole bunch of, you know, adapting a whole bunch of those light novels, then keep going.
Yeah. I've just noticed it a lot. Like, this season especially is the reason why I dropped a lot of shit. It's just the animation quality. Fucking terrible. Like, the worst is that Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer. It was so bad. It looked like hentai animation where people are sliding on the screen into place in some parts. And it was just like... Why? This should not be a thing. Animation shouldn't be getting worse as this goes on. We should be finding ways to do it better. And I'm like, they're cutting corners so bad. I'm like, y'all are going to kill the anime industry by half-assing everything. Because I've gotten to the point where if this keeps up, I'm just going to just go back and start watching the older stuff and not give a damn about new anime. Yeah. They can't keep this up. They can't keep this up.
There is a point where, and it's the one reason why, like, I find doing the season previews so exhausting. It's because like I can only like take so much bad stuff as possible. I'd rather just wait until someone tells me go watch this show, which I did. I watched the first couple episodes of Uncle from Another World. I know. I imagine that you and Matt talked about Uncle from Another World, because I definitely listened to that whole episode while I was editing it. And
I'm sure you did.
Holy shit, that's a great show. At least on American Netflix, we're four episodes in. I think six on Japanese. Five.
They had a 2-week break because of COVID at the studio. For some reason, Japan seems to be as good at warding off fucking this Omicron wave as we are, because every time I look, Anime News Network has another voice actor or somebody with COVID, and I'm like, the Jesus!
Whole world has given up. Except for China, who are just still going.
Just lock them down and don't let them eat.
You know, there's definitely got to be a middle ground there, but like I saw, like there was an IKEA that like they reported traced to COVID, and people were pushing and forcing their way out of the store as they were locking it down. It's like, that seems like the too far in the extreme. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Can you imagine being locked down inside of a
But it's because IKEA? China's vaccines were absolutely shit in the beginning. That people were saying they were basically nothing more better than placebos.
I believe that.
I don't know if they've gotten better, so I'm not going to say more than that, but I know in the beginning they were like, yeah, these vaccines are nothing.
To be fair, if you have to be locked in a store for 10 days, an IKEA's not so bad. You got meatballs, you got your own bedroom probably.
I don't know. Okay, hear me out. Walmart.
That's worse. Just
Walmart. You've got literally everything you need.
Do you see the trash that goes to Walmart? No, I don't want to be locked in those stores with those people.
I've seen the trash that goes to IKEA.
No, not the same. Not the same trash.
IKEA
not the
is
same
for
trash.
Sophisticated Europeans. Walmart is for, you know, American Southerners.
Oh, IKEA is for the...
Watch what you say, because I go to Walmart.
You're from Pasadena, so...
I buy jeans from
You're
Walmart.
From the Dana. The Dana.
No, I'm not from the Dina. I'm from the Bernie. The Dirty Bernie.
That's close enough.
Close enough. Basically, Scott, a really trashy, white trashy area.
I use context clues.
Ah, yes.
But I would much rather do IKEA, where it's more geared towards...
How the hell did we start talking about this?
People in their 30s and 40s. Oh, anyway, let's talk about Uncle from Another World, since you want to talk briefly.
I like IKEA.
I like IKEA, too. I got all my shelves.
So, Uncle from Another World essentially has two jokes, and every time they do the two jokes, I find it delightful. It's ridiculous. So, for anyone who hasn't listened to the preview, it's like the uncle, the kid's uncle wakes up, and it's really like I don't know if this is like the more like I learn about like these plots involving like the way Japanese families work, the more I'm like a little bit sickened. But like the family. The main character's mother doesn't want to go to see her brother because there was a bunch of arguments after he went into the coma, and she blames him for it, which seems insane. But anyway, so 17 years ago, the uncle got isekai'd, got hit by a truck, and went to another world, and he's been in a coma ever since, and he wakes up, and he goes into the custody of his nephew. But he has all the knowledge and the powers that he acquired in the isekai world. So he's got like magic, and he remembers all these, you know, all the spells and all this like useful knowledge, and you know, they brainstorm on how to like take advantage of this to make some money, and they decide to try to make him a big YouTube star. And you know, like the main joke of the show is that, you know, haha, you know, he is a Sega nerd. Haha, he was followed around by Tsundere and didn't realize it. But it's really great. And I think that the uncle is a wonderful, like, great, he's a great character, and I really, he's funny. But I think the other two characters, which is his nephew, and I'm sorry, I'm bad
at the
names.
Nephew's love
childhood
interest, or I'd say the opposite. She's in love with the nephew, and the nephew's kind of like the uncle, where he does not fucking recognize. Like, he's just like his fucking uncle. He's just dumb and completely oblivious to it.
And even though
the uncle, for once, the uncle recognizes it. He knows that she likes him, and he's trying to help her, and it always fails.
The nephew is constantly throwing shade at the uncle because he didn't pick up on the fact that the Sundari was in love with him.
That's part of the joke, is that both of them pick up on the other one. God. So they both pick up on the other one's, basically the girl that's in love with the other one, but they can't pick up on their own, and it's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, and it's like
so wonderful.
It's not, and you know what, like, I think, like, as crazy as it sounds, a show with an isekai character, like, it's fairly grounded, and like, and I think, you know, it's something that we talk about a lot with this modern anime. Like, there's more and more anime about, you know, early 20s or adults, right? And out of school. So, like, these are characters who are out of school in the real world, like, trying to make a living. Like, and she comes over, the uncle, you know, douses her with ice to save her from being covered in coffee. She has to, you know, take a shower, and the uncle, like, very respectfully, like, oh, I will leave the house so you don't feel embarrassed taking a shower. And damn. And then the nephew comes home and opens the door, and she's just wearing his button-down shirt, and she gets embarrassed. But then she's like, wait a minute, no, this is my opportunity, and goes and just, like, sits down on his bed with him just wearing the button-down shirt. And it's just like, so, you know, I don't really mind, you know, that you saw me like that. And he's just like, oh, you're being so kind, but I know what I have to do. And then goes to his uncle to get the fucking memory erase spell, because he thinks that that's what she wants. And it's just like, it's so dumb.
It's so dumb, and
it's
I love it.
It's like a character who is actively trying to have an adult romance versus a character who is just living with his uncle in the fantasy world that his uncle escaped from. And it's just like, it's so weird, and it's a joy. Yeah. Plus, I really like her design too. Like, I think she's a really interesting design, and I'm excited to see the rest of the joke, because one of the jokes about her is that she actually looked like the uncle did when she was in elementary school.
Oh God, she was a bully. Yeah, they bring it up a couple more times. But I said this on the preview show, and the manga was terrible.
Oh no!
So I shouldn't say terrible. It was super average because they drew out the jokes too long, and I felt like it's been a lot better with the anime here, where the jokes are hitting more quickly.
Okay.
And they're nailing the punchline, because sometimes in the manga, I'd be like, can we get to the fucking joke already? Why is this still going? Like, and I didn't think it worked as well. I think the anime does it better. It keeps the look of the manga, like, really well, and I look forward to checking out episode 5 soon. I know it dropped in Japan, so I'm going to check that out hopefully this week.
Yeah, I think that there's some, like, I mean, a lot of comedy is about the correct timing. So, like, a joke like in episode 4, the joke is that the uncle's drunk and, like, begs his elf Sundari girlfriend to help him back to the room.
And the Sundari is 100% into this, and she's like, it's my first time, but she's okay
with
it.
And, like, you're just watching, it's like, oh, I know how this is going to end. But the fact that they are able to draw it out and able to time it well, and then the uncle, just as soon as they get back to the house, he just is like, oh, thank you so much for getting me home. I really owe you one. And just slams the door in her face, immediately starts snoring, and she's just stunned there. Just like, what just happened? I built it.
They do a good job of switching back and forth between the present and isekai world. What I like is a lot of the references, because being in my 40s, I love that the Evangelion reference, where the uncle looks like Goto from Evangelion. That was a great reference. The references to Sega Saturn and other things is great. I just like the fact that it's like callbacks to that
he's
stuff.
He's very excited to play Sega Saturn.
Well, he was gone for like 17 years, I think it was.
Yeah, 17 years.
Yeah.
He gets an old cell phone and is happy with it, even though it doesn't connect to the cell towers.
So, Scott, I watched a Shinkai film.
Congratulations.
And I thought Shinkai was going to Shinkai me at the end of that film.
You know,
I was getting angry. So, I watched Your Name. It was part of movie night on the Discord server. And I really enjoyed it at the beginning. I felt like when they were switching back between bodies was really good. I did find the movie slightly lose some of its luster when they stopped switching back and the mystery began. I felt like that went on way longer than it needed to, because I was like, but I want to see the funny parts of them swapping back and forth. And when you find out the mystery that the girl was actually, it felt very Lake House in this, or Il Mare from Korea, in the fact that they're basically in two different timelines, 3 years apart, and him trying to save her in the town. And when he finally does, when they swap again, at the end, one of my biggest issues with 5 centimeters per second is they walk past each other after not seeing each other for years and keep fucking walking. And I was like, this is fucking bullshit. And Shinkai makes it feel like it's fucking happening again, multiple times, where I'm like, this is fucking bullshit. And I was like, I will never watch another Shinkai film if these two do not, I'm not even saying at the date, but if they fucking walk past each other and don't acknowledge it, I am out. And they do. Oh, thank God. I was just like, it was such a relief.
Feel like that, like an editor, like, kept watching the new cuts of the movie, and it gets to the end and they walk past each other and he's just like, no, do it again. Do it again, but make them talk to each other, and does it again. And like, they walk past each other again. It's like, no, you're not getting it. You're not getting what I'm telling you.
Well, my problem was, so 5 centimeters per second annoyed me, but that was a very slow drama. There was way too much to save her in the village for them not to meet again in the end, and that's what was pissing me off. I was like, no. They both went through way too much with each other that they don't meet again, and I was going to be like, F off, because that's not a payoff. 5 centimeters per second wasn't as bad, because like I said, they were just kind of like two friends that were in love, and they drifted apart, because that's just what happens sometimes. But this one, I was like, no, you just had them go through this whole thing where they're trying to save a whole fucking town from destruction of a comet. And you're just going to leave it like 5 centimeters per second? I was about to be like, I was raging in the middle of that, at the end of that movie. I was ready to go. But he did the right thing. And like you said, I bet somebody was in his ear like, you can't do this again.
Because
not in that type of movie. Not with everything they went through. Because I feel like most viewers would just been like, fuck this. I didn't need to see them married at the end, but I was just glad they met and were like, and you have them do the quick realization and chatting, and then it just goes. And I'm like, that's fine.
It needed a happy ending.
Yes.
I think without the happy ending, with the melancholy ending that Shinkai feels like he wanted to put in there, it wouldn't have worked.
That would have been terrible, and I would never watch another one of his shit. I'm going to reiterate that over and over.
You'll also be happy that in Weathering With You, that the two characters do make an appearance in the background when they are together.
From 5 centimeter?
No, from
okay.
Your Name.
Oh, okay.
Weathering With You was the last movie that came out.
Okay.
2019.
I'll actually give that a chance now, because I wouldn't have.
Weathering With You, which I don't think I've talked about on here, but it definitely feels like Your Name again, but with a weird climate change twist.
Oh God, he's gone the Shyamalan route.
Well, no, it's like
trees are killing people.
No, they're, it's not a mystery. Like they literally, like, the girl controls the weather, and they take advantage of that. But like, the message about climate change is really weird. It's essentially like, we can't do anything about it, we're fucked. So that's like, oh no. That's not the best message.
First off, Shinkai's going to do a climate change because it's just another excuse to draw as many fucking clouds as he possibly can.
Oh my God, Mike, this girl, like, it gets, this girl gets spirited away by, like, the weather gods and lives among the clouds for some of this movie. It's gorgeous.
I am 100% sure he goes outside in his backyard that's completely fenced in with nobody viewing and jacks off to clouds.
Oh, he jacks off to clouds. This fucker can't stop jacking off when he goes and does the laundry. You ever see a Shinkai drawn washing machine? It's fucking gorgeous. All right. Fat.
Dude's got some fetishes. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
He's a cloud otaku, and I never thought I'd say those two words together in my life.
Speaking of anime fetishes,
what?
While you were watching Your Name, I went to see a movie. I actually was mad because I saw you were watching Your Name. I was like, well, what the fuck? I mean, one time I leave my goddamn house. I went to see...
And that was the second to last movie we're watching, because those movie nights are coming to an end.
I went to see Inuo, which is the new film by Masami Yuasa and Sion Saru. It was released on a limited, like 3-day release here in the States, and I had to drive 45 minutes to go to a theater to see it. So.
Oh God, I'm looking at it now. This is a Scott movie, Shannon.
Yeah.
So, definitely a Scott
what's
movie.
What's it called?
Inuo. Which means mound of bones, mound of hands, something like that. So it's about the apparently about the rise of the Noah dance, no dance, NOH. It's like when that became an art form, and essentially it's about a BWAP player who is blinded when his father is tasked with finding the royal regalia, the sword of the emperor, which was lost during a battle. He unsheathes this sword, and it kills him and blinds his son because the emperor is a god. And then he spends this kid spends the rest of his life wandering the land blind, but he finds these Biwa monks who are all blind and who go around playing instruments and telling stories, and they're specifically telling stories about the Heki clan, which was destroyed by the Northern Court when there were a brief period in Japan when there was two imperial courts and a false emperor who was attempting to say that they deserve the throne. So the Heike clan was destroyed, and these Biwa monks were purposely going around kind of telling the stories of this clan and how they came to an end and what they were about because they no longer exist. So that's the build-up. So the other main character, which is the titular character, Inuo, was born kind of as a demon. Like, the opening scene is this, like, real, like, monstrous creature being born from his mother. And it's, like, a really graphic and weird scene to open a movie with. And he's the son of a very famous dance troupe. I forget the style, but the more traditional Japanese dance. And so he's a weird deformed creature, but then he wants to be part of his father's dance troupe, but his father refuses, just like says, get the fuck out of here, you deformed monster. But he learns the moves and starts to learn the dance anyway. And as he practices and starts to take on the art form, he slowly starts to regain his humanity. So he learns how to do the dance that his father's trying to teach his other brothers. And his legs become normal and he can speak normally. And so he goes off, and these two characters eventually meet up together and they form this partnership in which they discover that this deformed character is cursed with the spirits of 1,000 samurai who were killed at this final battle that destroyed the Heike clan. So what they have to do is they have to tell the stories of these samurai in order to appease the spirits. And as the spirits leave him, he slowly regains his humanity. So it goes into these very long performances, which they do use. Traditional Japanese music instruments and traditional Japanese singing styles to tell these traditional Japanese stories using like all of the like poetic language and stuff, but filmed and performed in like a modern, almost like a modern rock opera sort of way, and like the combination of the two is so unique and bizarre and beautiful. So like, one of the things about Inuo is that he starts off and he has this extremely elongated hand, and they animate him doing unique dances that incorporate this hand to like launch himself into the air and hang from stuff and to pull off all these weird stunts. And it's really cool, and it's like a lot of it is based on traditional Japanese dance and song, and it's definitely something that you gotta see, like, I can't, like, describe it because it's Masami Yuasa. Like, the final performance in this movie features Inuo, like, floating over a body of water with a massive like piece of cloth trailing behind him as he's singing the story of these samurai making their final stand, you know, and in for the child emperor that they believe is the actual descendant of Amaterasu. And it's just like, what the fuck is happening? I don't even know. And then, yeah, it's really a unique and beautiful work, and something that I really enjoyed, despite the fact that, like, I can't say that I completely understood everything that occurred, because it is the one thing about, because this is such a traditional Japanese, like, story and movie, like, it doesn't follow, like, like the structure that I would expect from, like, a Western movie. So it's like the way that they unveil certain things, and the way that they give you information, and the way that stuff is, you know, given to you is very odd, but it works in the context of the film. So I definitely want to, like, see it one or two more times in order to really grok it. But I'm glad I saw it in the theaters, just because of how beautiful it was and how lovely the music is.
Look like a Scotch film, and I'm not interested.
Damn you. Go to hell.
I'm interested, Scott.
So, yeah, and I didn't actually realize that they were transgender, that the voice of Inuo, but they do have a band called Queen Bee, a Japanese J-pop, a J-rock band. It's very good. On the way home, Brittany brought them up and played a couple of their songs. And yeah, it sounds, you know, the singer sings just like they did in the film, which is it's a very unique, like, nasally high voice, and it's I really like it.
You would.
God damn you! God damn you, Mike! That's our podcast, I think, right?
Yep.
Yep. One last thing.
Go for it.
As we talked about, we will be at Otakon next year. Hotel's booked.
Yeah. Hey. Raise my waifu cup to that.
Your waifu cup.
Oh yeah, you bought that at Otakon. Is it just a decal on a plastic mug?
Oh yeah, it's just like a.
Or is it actually printed on there?
It's screen printed on the shaker bottle.
Okay.
It is screen printed on the shaker bottle. It's a nice shaker bottle too. Like, it's, I really like it. I've been actually using the waifu cup not only to make the gamer sup energy drink that I bought, but I've been using it to do iced coffee too, because it's dry ice. Nice. And then you shake it up and it works pretty well. So I have been Scott Spezziani. You can, of course, find me on Twitter, twitter.com/ScottSpezziani. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/GundamPilotSpaz, where you can see me go. I've been playing a lot of Two Point Campus, which just came out. I like that game very much. It's on the Game Pass, so it's, you know, it's $10 a month if you want to play it. I like the, you know, it's a nice throwback that I've been enjoying.
That's the same ones that did the hospital. Yeah,
actually, I forget what the studio was named before, okay. But they actually rebranded to Two Point Studio now, and they're like they're going all in on this simulation style of game.
Okay.
Mike, where can people find you on internet?
You can find me at almost all the socials as GNITRO. That's Twitter, Instagram, and. Yeah, that's about all I care about. I don't post on TikTok.
You said you were gonna post on TikTok.
My website is G.
You promised me. You
promise you anything.
I have a signed letter here that says I promise that I will do TikToks where I will look at some vinyl and talk about it. Okay. Well,
man, that's not happening. I'm lazy. you can check out my website, g-nitro.com, for all your K-pop needs. 2016 Top 100 is out now, and I'm working on 2017, which will be out in early to mid-September. It's pretty much mostly done. I'm just ranking it. That was an easy one. And then I'm taking a break for the year until next year, because I will focus on this year's stuff for the rest of the year. And I just want to give a quick shout-out to Strawberry Station for our intro song.
I guess that means I should probably tell you where you can find me, Mike.
I was letting Scott, well, I'm trying to give Scott more bit bullshit, but because he seems to be on fire today after not recording for a month.
Well, you...
No, this is the end. You're supposed to say, here's my friend Shannon. I want her to plug things, too.
But you keep dropping into bits left and right. I was like, oh, Scott's going to jump into something else crazy in a second.
Am I ready? Am I good?
Please.
Sure.
For the love of God, please.
I'm on Twitter, Perfect Serenade, and you can read my webcomics, Lucifer's Ace, and I Was a Retired Magical Girl on Webtoon and Tapas. You can find me on TikTok, but it's just for my webcomic. But that's about it. I think it's like Lucifer's _ A _ webcomic or something like that. I don't know. Y'all don't really give a shit.
That's not true.
I do.
Well,
I didn't know you had one for your webcomic.
I appreciate you.
I want to see you do a choreographed dance and at the end say, please read my webcomic.
No.
I want to see you talk about some vinyl and then at the end say, please read my webcomic. What do people do on TikTok?
I want to see your dog. I want to see your dog and cat videos dance, and then see you dance, plug your webcomic.
Do stupid shit. Expose Karens.
Do you expose Karens on TikTok?
Oof.
I don't expose Karens.
There's some very problematic creators that do.
Oh, yeah.
Have their own fucking issues that I blocked most of them.
All right, that's the end of our podcast. That's it. That's the end. That's it. Bah, 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 bah. That's all, folks. Oh, we do have. So yes, our next one is going to be Dirty Pair. We got to watch Dirty Pair. Like, do the thing.
Deuces. I'm a little off today. God damn it. Peace.
Good. 3, 2, 1, and.